Gospel of Luke. Not a train come through the back door. Luke 7. Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, about verse 31. I'm sorry we didn't get in yesterday. It's either the Lord or the devil or something, I don't know, whatever it was. And then tonight I got in a little later than I wanted to, and they got the clock wrong in the motel. They got the clock set by my time in Ohio. So, man, I'd set the alarm, and I woke up, and I looked at it, it said 6:58, and I said, oh, man, 2 minutes. I can't get there in 2 minutes. So I hopped up, shaved, and did everything, and got down here, and the church is all closed. I said, well, maybe they just canceled the whole meeting or something. And I'll go get a hamburger and go home. So I sat out here for a while, and I finally figured out what the deal was. Praise the Lord, man. This much trouble, we ought to get something. Lord bound to give us something with all this mess. And on top of that, I don't know where my glasses or my comb is. And I'm sure you can tell. You might not can tell I don't know where my glasses are, but you can sure tell I don't know where my comb is. Sorry about that. I'm really not. I hate doing it, but, you know, you got to look nice. All right, verse 31. The Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They're like unto children. And we'd stop there and preach a while. That'd really be dividing up the word, wouldn't it? But that's what they're like. Men in this generation are pretty much lazy bums that don't know how to take responsibility, and all they want to do is play. And if they're not playing, they just want to sit around and spectate. You'll have a bunch of children Sunday afternoon sitting around spectating all Sunday afternoon. You say, why? Just a bunch of children. That's all they are. Amen. You say, oh, that's a real, yeah, I know. Just kids. Kids sitting around playing, not going to make any difference. Not going to make a difference who wins what or who does what or who runs how far or where the ball goes. It's going to make no difference. None of that stuff means anything. Sit around and watch a bunch of dope heads playing what you're doing. Amen. You're not careful, you'll wind up a dope head yourself. How about that? Whereunto, listen, I've been here enough. Y'all like my preaching for some crazy reason, but I'm bound to preach something you won't like. I mean, keep coming back, and bound to preach something you won't like. It's not whether you like it or not, it's is it the truth or not. See, you may not like any of it, but that doesn't mean anything. See, that's why men of this generation are like children. They go by what they like. You say, I like this and I like that. What you haven't got enough sense to know what to like. Amen? Amen. Don't mind me, it's a long drive. I already got mad at the guy behind the counter in the motel, so I have to go back and apologize to this man alive. They're like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. I'm kind of like them old prophets in the Old Testament. I'll do my best to tell it to you exactly like it is. If you don't go along with it, I don't no sweat off my back. You say, that's a terrible attitude. It's the only way to do it in this day and age. I mean, I want you to do right, and I want you to be right with God, and I want you to walk close to the Lord, and if you listen to preaching the Word of God, it'll help you. But the problem with these men, why they like children, because somebody pipes a tune, and they say, we don't like that tune, we're not going to dance to your tune. Then he gets all hot and mad and sulky and goes home. Well, I'll go home. I ain't going to be hot, mad, and sulky, you know. I mean, I'll pull out of here Monday morning. You can do what you want to do about what we preach. You can get down the Word of God and get some strength and wisdom and grace from God and some knowledge, understanding, and live what the Bible says. You don't have to. You really don't have to. The idea of a man preaching is not to form his message so it fits what you like. It's preach what God wants to preach. Now, you have to understand that. Because if you spend a lot of time listening to modern Christian radio, you're getting the other stuff. Now, this modern Christian radio psychology crowd, you're getting what the people want. It's exactly what you get. And some of the things some of these old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers preach is not what the people want. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, you say, of the devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. By the fruit you'll know them. Let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you for this day. And God, your mercies were good to us today. They were new this morning. And if it wasn't for your mercies, we would have been consumed. It's a crazy world, Lord, we live in. It's a wacko place, and people don't know how to do anything, Lord, but kill one another. And Lord, we just thank you for getting us safely through it, getting us here in this building tonight that we might sing those songs, praise and worship to thee, and songs of Zion. God, what a blessing it is to the heart to come into a place and close out that old wicked world with all its cares and problems and troubles and sorrows and woes, and be able to sing happy, joyous songs about our Savior and about his love and about his grace and about the place he's going to take us home one day. I pray, Lord, you bless these folks coming out in this weather. Give them something from the Word of God tonight. Help me to preach with your wisdom, your power. Lord, I'm not sufficient in myself. My sufficiency is of thee, Lord, and all the glory belongs to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to call your attention to verse 34 and the end of the verse. Now, this generation that the Lord preached to said a lot of things about him, and they fabricated lies and false testimonies at his crucifixion to get him crucified. They said a lot of things about him in this life as he walked on this earth, and they said things that weren't true. They called him an illegitimate child. They said he had a devil. They said all kinds of things about him wasn't true. But there's one thing they said about him that was very true, and thank God for it. And you find it there in verse 34. Now, they don't know what they're saying. They're saying it as a derogatory mark. And it's true, you ought not to companion with fools, and it's true, you can't fellowship with this world and the people of it, but it's also true that you ought to be a friend of publicans and sinners. You've got to find the balance. You can't be a companion, you can't run with them, you can't fellowship with them, but they need a friend. And I'm thankful tonight that what they said about Jesus Christ is entirely true, a friend of publicans and sinners. I'm looking tonight at a bunch of sinners. I'm looking tonight at a bunch of people who, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm looking at a bunch of people, if it wasn't for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you'd have absolutely no hope whatsoever. The only your end would be hell, fire, and damnation, and there'd be no need to be in here. You might as well be in the pool hall or the movie house or somewhere and join yourself until your time to go to hell, because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. He's the best friend I ever had. He's the best friend you ever had. When you get back in the Song of Solomon and that old bride has gone nuts in this world and got her roots in and her feet down and got in bed with this old world and running around seeking her lovers, finally she becomes sick of love and she hears a knock in the middle of the night and she knows it's him. She knows it's her lover. She knows it's the one that she belongs to, but she's a little slow getting to the door, and when she gets there, he's gone. And she begins to seek for him. And the keeper of the walls are not very helpful to her. Matter of fact, they begin to beat on her. She says, if you see him, tell him I'm sick of love. If you see him, tell him I'm sick of love. I'm tired of just running around and my heart's sick for him. And she goes over to the daughters of Jerusalem. She says, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? They said, well, who is he? You know, what is he more than this and more than that? And she begins to describe him and tell what he looks like. She gets down there and said, he's altogether lovely, my beloved, and he's my friend. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. I remember that song we sing every once in a while, Jesus, what a friend of sinners, Jesus, the lover of my soul. I tell you, I'll be able to rejoice in that tonight. If you'd look back on the past year, you might see you've lost some friends and gained some friends, and you don't know how true all the friends are going to be to you, but you know how true one will be. You know how true Jesus Christ is going to be. Friends and foes and family and all that can forsake you, but there's one, if you're saved tonight, that'll never leave you and never will forsake you. You can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can break that fellowship. You can make it look like that you and him aren't really together, but he's there. He's there. You just have to get things fixed up. That's all. I'm thankful tonight for what they said, verse 34, a friend of publicans and sinners. What is a friend of sinners? You know, you and I ought to be a friend of sinners. If Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners and he saved our old rotten souls from hell, we ought to be a friend of sinners. We ought to have an answer. We ought to be ready to give an answer to any man that asks a reason of hope that lies within us. If Jesus Christ is our best friend, we ought to seek to be a friend of some old sinner headed on his way to hell, taken captive by the devil and in the bondage of sin in hell with the gate shut and the key thrown away, but we know where the key is. We know who's got the key of hell and of death, and we know who to point them to. We ought to be a friend of sinners. First of all, I want you to know that a friend of sinners is a friend of God. He's a friend of God. You can't properly be a friend of a sinner unless you're a friend of God. This modern day and age in Christianity has gotten everything kind of backwards, really. It's gotten everything all messed up. We're so concerned about all these horizontal relationships, so concerned about man with man, and what does man think of man, and how can I get this out of man, and how can I react this way, and the problem of my kids, and the problem of my husband, the problem of my wife, and the problem of the preacher, and the problem of this and that. No, it isn't. The problem is between man and God. That's where the problem is. The problem, if this modern Christianity would spend half the time it spends on all those horizontal human relationships, if it'd spend half that time on getting folks right with God, the rest of it would just measure up like it ought to be. If you'd get down on your knees and check yourself out and say, God, how are you and I getting along? Lord, am I right with you? I know you're right with me, no problem on your end, but am I right with you? And if you'd get your relationship to God straightened up, the rest of that stuff would work itself out or just blow up and you and God can go on. That's the only way I know how to look at it. You say, what if it don't work out? Listen, the best thing in the world you can do is make sure you're right with God. And a friend of sinners is not a friend of the world, not a friend of this flesh, but he's a friend of God. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me. He said, I am come to do thy will. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. You know what God did? God prepared a body for himself. God prepared a body, the likeness of this old flesh that we have, and he walked in this flesh and walked up and down for 3.5 years and ministering to folks. You say, what for? To be a friend of sinners. But first of all, he was a friend of God. When he knelt down to pray over old Lazarus' tomb, he said, Father, I know thou always hearest me. Boy, you and I, we can't say that. You're not going to tell me that every time you get down to prayer, you say, I know the Lord's hearing me. You got down and prayed sometime, and you thought the prayer didn't bounce off the ceiling, did it? Didn't even get off the top of your head. You weren't praying right, and you were praying selfish, and you had sin, you regarded sin and iniquity in your heart, and you knew it wasn't what it was supposed to be, but not Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ got down and prayed for a man in the tomb, he said, Lord, he said, Father, I know thou always hearest me. How come? Because he always did the things the Father said. How about you? You got something that you haven't done that God told you to do? Quit sitting around making this excuse about I'm not perfect, just forgiven. I can't stand that. I don't even like that on a bumper sticker. They got to burn every one of them. The first time I ever saw that, there was a can of beer and a pack of cigarettes on the front seat and a bumper sticker on the back. So I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Listen, you think I'm going to let my daughter go out with it? She's 19 years old. Think I'm going to let her go out with a boy that's got that sign on the back of his car? You're nuts. I don't care if he's saved or not. He ain't taking her nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. Well, the Bible said 5 times in the New Testament, be ye perfect, be ye perfect, be ye perfect. How come you're not? Perfect don't mean sinless. Why the Lord, you said, well, nobody's perfect. No, I don't know what you read, but it's certainly in your Bible. Why the Lord looked down at Job in Job chapter 1, him and the devil having a conversation, he said, you considered my servant Job a perfect man. Now, he wasn't sinless. The book of Job bear that out. You say, well, how in the world was he perfect? Because Job acted right on what he knew. Are you? You know you want more and more and more and more knowledge. Maybe what you need to do is to act right on the knowledge you've got. See, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It's not so you can puff up your head and increase your hat size. That's not why you study. Not so you can win theological arguments and beat everybody to death with your biblical knowledge. No, sir. It's so you can be perfect, thoroughly furnished. It's so you can show God. You can show God. Say, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm studying so I know what I'm supposed to do. And, Lord, I'm acting on what I knew last. And give me some new information. You know, you keep learning all this new stuff and ain't putting into practice that old stuff, you're going to get yourself a mess. That's what you're going to do. A friend of sinners, a friend of God, he said, I'm come to do thy will, thy will, thy will. You say, he knows our frame, he knows we're dust. Brethren, I know all of that. I know about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And Paul, when he wrote about that, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God didn't save you so you could just keep on sinning and sing about the grace of God. He saved you so you could sing about some victory and live some victory while you're singing about the grace of God.
didn't save you to sin. He saved you to quit your sinning. Amen, preacher. A friend of sinners won't compromise God to win them. He'll do all that's right, but he won't compromise God to win them. You know, we got this kind of Christianity. I don't know, Dr. Spook or something really messed us up. And it's like when kids come over to the house. When kids come over to our house, I got a little buddy there in Dayton, Ohio. His name's Reuben. And Reuben, he's about 2 years old, and he's about this tall and about this wide, and he's quite a character. I really like old Reuben. But Reuben can get himself in some trouble now. But when he comes over to the house, my wife don't take her little things, you know, she got on the coffee table and the lamp. She don't put nothing up. She don't put nothing out of his way. She said, well, he's liable to break it. Now, if he's listening to his daddy, he ain't going to break it. You know what his daddy does? Daddy comes in there and says, Reuben, don't touch it. And then Reuben, like you, puts his hand up and creeps a little closer, a little closer, a little closer, and gets about you couldn't even measure the distance between his finger and the object. And he kind of looked at Dad, and Dad said, Reuben, don't touch it. And Reuben just standing there, and he said, Reuben, move your hand. Back it up, oh, I don't know, about a thousandth of an inch. And before you know it, Reuben's getting himself a lick. Listen, let me tell you something. You're not going to do him any good just moving everything. You ain't going to move a wood stove. You wouldn't move my granny's wood stove. We got it walking around, crawling around in there, and granny said, don't touch that stove, it's hot. She ain't putting it up on the shelf nowhere. You say, what happened? You touch it, you get burnt on both ends. Amen, boy. You touch that thing, this finger hurts, and back here hurts a little while, too. And it's modern Christianity. Says, well, you get them saved. Now, don't tell them, don't do this, and don't tell them, don't do this, don't tell them about this and that. Listen, you nut. They're going to walk out in the world where it's right down on the floor and the coffee table where they can get a hold of it. It's going to mess them up. You better tell them don't. A friend of sinners is a friend of God. A friend of sinners is a friend of righteousness. The Lord went down there. What's he got to be baptized for? He's got to be baptized. My goodness, you know your Bible. I mean, he came down from the throne. He had to come through the sea. He's under the sea when he got here. Amen. He don't have to be baptized. There's more water up there than there is here. You all know that. Some of you don't, but you all know that. Well, listen, he come down and John said, oh, whoa. He said, not me, not me. I ain't baptizing you. You baptized me. He said, man, I'm not even worthy to loose one latch of your shoe. And the Lord said, come on, John, baptize me. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, what'd he do it for? He said, I don't see absolutely no reason why he did it. You know, in your Christian life, there's going to be some things God asks of you. You're not going to see no benefit in it. You're not going to see no reason why. I said, well, what am I going to get out of this? Nothing. You baby, you always want to know, what am I going to get out of this? You ain't going to get nothing out of it. You get baptized, you're going to get wet. And the preacher got any smarts, he may hold you for a while under there. I mean, God's going to ask you sometimes, he's going to say, do this. He's going to say, now, I know the Lord wants me to do that. I can't for a lot be. It's not yours to figure out why. John says, I don't see the need in this. And Jesus Christ said, the need is the Father wants me to be baptized, so we better do this. Ain't that right? Thus it becometh us fulfill all righteousness. A friend of sinners, a friend of righteousness. You see, this modern world that calls for strokes and wants people to pat each other on the back and tell each other this and that and soothe each other over, that's not a friend. Why, the best friends I've got will sit me down and we'll go at it across the table. They'll burn my hide. The best friends I got will stand up in a pulpit. I'll be sitting on the front pew and they may know something about me and they might just snipe at me. You say, well, that ain't right. I don't care if it's right or not. It sure is good for me. I don't like it. I don't like it any better than you do. But I need it. And if you're a good friend of somebody, you're going to be a friend of righteousness. You're going to do right. Did you do right today? Did you? You ever get down on your knees at night and just say, Lord, did I do right today? You ever ask him that? I'm not talking about Bible reading. I'm not talking about praying. I'm not talking about soul winning. I'm not talking about being a good wife, good husband, good kids. I'm just talking about, did you do right today? That's a question, isn't it? Go home nights, get on your knees, say, Lord, did I do right today? Man, I didn't do right, and I walked in that motel. I got to go back and apologize that nut. Praise God. I want to do it. I didn't do right. Did you do right today? You say, well, we got evangelists up here, didn't do right. Well, you know, you get a king after your own heart. Ah, yeah, boy. This old world, man, carnal, worldly, fleshy old Christians, always talking about my this and my that, and I like this and I like that, and I don't want this and I don't want that, and I don't like this, and why can't I, and everybody else does, and all that. You know what that produces? Carnal, worldly, fleshy Christians. So, well, we're getting somebody saved. Yeah, amen. They're not going to go to hell, but it'd sure be nice the Lord just take them on home to heaven before you mess them up. Like produces like, doesn't it? Yeah, amen. You say, we come out here for this? Yes, yeah, what you came for. You should have heard the one you missed last night. Listen, we're wicked. Now you're saved. If you're saved, maybe some of you are not saved, but I want to tell you something. You saved folks in here, you better not forget that every one of you still has in you a nature that hates God. And you better not forget that. You're saved and washed in the blood, but you're still carrying around that old nature, and that old nature doesn't love God, doesn't love right, doesn't love the Bible, doesn't love none of it. You walk after that flesh, you're walking after a nature that hates God. What you walking after? A friend of sinners is a friend of the truth. The truth. I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder not only to hear the truth, but to tell it. Amen? You like my new dress I bought, honey? Go ahead, tell the truth. But we've guised it all up. I mean, we've really covered it all up, haven't we? When we've even justified, right? Last night, man, I tell you what, I don't know where I am. I got here, I was a little sick when I got here. I think last night the girls, we had some folks come down from New York and brought us a brand new dryer somebody gave us, and, you know, praising God, and wife didn't have to go to the laundromat now, and so, you know, she washes them out in the bathtub and puts them, no, we got a washer. And they brought us a dryer, and so we had all this house full of women. And I mean, three girls, they got three, we got one, he got a wife, I got a wife, we left a lot. And, you know, it's just a little old house, small bathroom, it gets kind of bad. And so anyway, them girls, they made spaghetti. And I like garlic. If I eat anything tomorrow that's garlic, the back row will know it tomorrow night. And the front row, you better bring some gas mask or something, because you ain't going to be able to take it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you can't eat too much garlic. You just can't do it. And they made good spaghetti. It was really pretty good. Tastes pretty good. Sauce pretty good and everything. But I told them, I said, there's not enough garlic in here. And somebody said, well, you know, you should just tell them. I said, no. I said, if I want my daughter to cook right, I got to tell her what she didn't do right. I do it nice. I told her, I said, it tasted real good. It's real good stuff. I really appreciated it and did a real good job, good effort. I wasn't mean about it. I just said, she knows me anyway. She said, does it need anything? I said, need garlic. He said, nobody else thought so. Well, I know, but if she's cooking it for me, it needs garlic. So she went and got the garlic bottle and set it from my plate, and that satisfied everybody. You say, what are you talking about? Just telling the truth. Wasn't it hard to tell the truth sometimes? You think it is. You've talked yourself into believing it's hard, haven't you? You listen to that newscast, you watch the TV, you read the newspaper, and before you know it, you're caught up in all that stuff. They're lying to you. I don't trust them when they give you the temperature. I've called people, I read the temperature of a city, of somebody I knew, and picked up the phone. I said, what's it like down there? And he said, it was 35 degrees. I called him up, and my buddy said, well, it's about 60 degrees, sunshine, we'll have a good day. I said, I thought so. I don't believe them. I just don't trust them. I didn't look in yesterday. For all I know, Tuesday, they said y'all had 90-degree weather here. I don't know what it was. But I know you've had some bad weather. I can tell by the ice and snow out there. But what I'm telling you is, a friend of sinners is a friend of the truth. Jesus Christ, he stopped in Samaria, and he stopped that old whore there at the well, and that's what she was. You know, I used that word one time in a message in Arizona, and a lady got all upset and went, I don't know why she didn't jump on me, she jumped on the preacher. She jumped on the preacher for about 45 minutes back in the office, and that man said a whore and this and a whore and that ain't it. You know, they're working girl and they're this and they're that. Made me wonder what she was. Take me out to eat. We go down to the sweet shop and put on pounds down there in Pensacola and go out to some restaurant, Popeyes. I like Popeyes, you know. We go to Popeyes Fried Chicken or something, and if we go out there, we might go to a fancy place, a waitress come to the table, and the first thing old Lindley do, he pull out his billfold, got a picture of a little baby girl, and he said, he just shoved that right in the face of the waitress. He said, you see that? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gave me after I trusted him as my Savior. So that's a beautiful grandchild. Ain't my grandchild, it's my daughter. And they know he's nuts. He'd tell me, call me Collect, you know, so I run around the country, got his number, and I'd call him Collect every once in a while, and he always called me the bishop. And the operator would say, you got a Collect call from Rex Harrison? And he said, where's the bishop at? And she'd tell him where that, and then he'd talk, I never got to talk 5 minutes, he'd talk 5 minutes at the operator. The operator said, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Boy, some of them did, some of them didn't. It got kind of hairy there every once in a while. They called him up to Boston a few years back at a big investors convention for all people all over the world, and they was going to have him speak for 20 or 25 minutes on certain aspects of investment. And he got up and he said, I said, you don't need me to tell you about this. He said, you all know what to do anyway. He said, I'll tell you something else. Man, 25 minutes, he told him how Jesus Christ saved his soul. Said, what is that? Friend of sinners? Friend of the down and out and up and about. Didn't bypass a one of them. Told him like it was, told him the truth, didn't let him get away with anything, cried over him, went apart and prayed over him, and saved him. Aren't you glad tonight he's a friend of sinners? You ought to be. In his death, he had time to reach down and save an old thief. Don't you get so busy doing the work of God that you don't have time to reach down and save an old thief. Because really, that's what you used to be. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow. I preach to Christians tonight, but there may be somebody in here lost without Jesus Christ your Savior. Listen, I preach to Christians, but you know what to do. That whole sermon's laced with what you ought to do. Sinner away from God, no peace deep down, no joy. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul. Well, here you are coming into a new year. If you trust Jesus Christ tonight, he'll make you a new creature. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just come to him and admit what you are. Admit you're an old lost sinner and you like your sin. On your way to hell. Tell him you're sorry. Ask him to save you. He'll do it. He'll do it. Christian, just how good a friend you've been to God. We always talk about how wonderful a friend he is to us. How about your end of it? How good a friend are you to him? If you're a real good friend to God, you'll be the kind of friend an old sinner in this world needs. Lord, I pray you deal with the hearts now. If there's somebody in this building lost, I pray tonight that we sing, Lord, they'd come, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. I pray, Lord, if some child of God in here tonight you've talked to, you've spoken to, the Holy Spirit's dealt with, that tonight, Lord, they'd obey and they do what you tell them to do. And that's all we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, come on. I used that word one time in a message in Arizona, and a lady got all upset and went, and I don't know why she didn't jump on me, she jumped on the preacher. She jumped on the preacher for about 45 minutes back in the office, and that man said a whore and this and a whore and that ain't it. You know, they're working girl and they're this and they're that. Made me wonder what she was. Amen. And I said, well, did you? He said, yeah, I opened up the Bible, show her where God called them whores. I said, well, if God called them whores and I'm a voice of the Lord, then I'm going to call them whores. Amen. She got all upset and mad. You say, why? It's the truth. Isn't it the truth? If there are, they're dope heads.
They're not drug abusers. They're dope heads. And AIDS, people got AIDS are not victims. I'm telling you, this world is nuts. Boy, try to put you and I on a guilt trip. They didn't go to war. Amen? They're not victims. They're reaping what they sow. You say, well, I don't like it. You don't like the truth. That's what you don't like. You don't like somebody to look you square in the eyes and tell you the truth. Down there in Cincinnati, they have every year, I don't know if it's around the 4th or whenever it is, they got a big old river fest. And it's no place for a Christian to be unless they're down there preaching or passing out cracks or something. They shooting up all them, you know, boom, boom, poof, 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 all that kind of stuff. And a preacher friend of mine, he went down there, passed out some tracks. He's walking down along the river. Here come a big old motorcycle fella, bumped into him, you know, and said, he said, what are you doing? He gave him a little track. He said, I'm a preacher. He said, just down here giving us a gospel tract out. He said, what in the world are you doing in a place like this? You know, the Christian radio station down in Cincinnati promoted the thing. But listen, the city council of Cincinnati, Ohio, was thinking about banning the thing and dropping it this year because of all the debauchery, all the drunkenness and dope that goes on during the festival. And the Christian radio station said, let's have it. Don't that make you wonder about something?
Yeah.
Makes me wonder about something. A friend of the truth. If you're going to be a friend of sinners, you're going to tell them like it is. You're not going to tell them like it ain't. You're not going to do nobody any good till you tell them they're lost and on their way to hell. Why, if you're a sinner in this building tonight without Jesus Christ, you're wicked, you're ungodly, you're away from God, and you die right now, you're going to burn in hell. That's what the truth is. You say, well, I don't like the truth. I care less whether you like the truth or not. That's the truth. So I don't want to tell folks that. Relative's the hardest, ain't it? No, that's the hardest. But the Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. This lady came at that well, and Jesus Christ was over there talking to her, and she got saying a few things, and he said, boy, he said, you told the truth there. He said, you've had five husbands. The man you're living with now ain't your husband. He said, you're just a whore. You're a harlot. Just an old harlot. He said, man, alive. That's pretty strong. That's the Lord. The Lord always told it like it was. Look at it, listen, he did so, he told her the truth, and she got a hold of that thing. He knocked down every argument she had. She ran back in the town, didn't give him a drink, and gathered up the men of that town, said, come out and see, I found the Messiah. He told me everything I ever did. The Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. How come he didn't talk to one of them men? I'll tell you why. He went and had to talk to that harlot. You say, why? Every man in that town knew that harlot. And when that harlot went into that city and said, come and see him, he told me everything I ever did, they was part of it. That'll get him to Jesus Christ. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. She ran back and said, you got to see this fellow. He done told my life story. And I said, wait a minute, we're part of your life story. I said, well, come on out and see him. Better meet the Messiah. Lord's character, isn't he? Friend of the truth, you tell the truth. We don't want to tell the truth. Phone call comes in, you're sitting there and you're busy. I tell them. It isn't that I don't love people. I never have liked them, but it isn't that I don't love them. But I'll tell Tammy, and I said, tell them that I can't talk right now. I'm busy. And sometimes I tell them I don't want to talk right now. And I'll call back later. Amen. He's out. No, he ain't out. Some of you ain't all there, but you ain't out. Just tell them the truth. Listen, if a person can't understand that you don't want to talk right now, they're so thin-skinned, you ain't going to help them. I call you up and you can't talk, it ain't going to bother me. I probably didn't need to call you in the first place. Amen? Amen. I don't know what's the matter with you all tonight. If you have a long night or something, a friend of sinners, a friend of truth. Friend of the truth. You've got to tell the sinner exactly like it is. They're not soft soaping. You soft soap it, he'll buy a Mickey somewhere and die and go to hell. That's what he'll do. You don't tell him the truth, you're going to slip him something else. But now the balance of that. A friend of sinners is a friend of compassion. You tell the truth. And sometimes you have to get kind of blunt about it. But you better not ever lose that heart of compassion for them sinners. Because after all, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have no truth to tell nobody. You look at him and say, oh, them ungodly, wicked folk, you're looking at you. You're looking at you. So I wouldn't do that. You just got done doing it 10 years ago. Don't you forget. Don't you forget where you came from. Don't ever forget where you were when Jesus Christ saved you. Don't you ever forget it. I'll tell you something, like the old preacher down south said. He said, you've come a long way, but it ain't far back. You get heady and high-minded and get to forgetting what God's done for you, and some of you booze and dope and who knows what, and we don't want to know what. And some of you done all that in this room, and one of these days you get heady and high-minded, look down your nose at that old sinner, and the old devil go to the Lord and say, what about that? The Lord said, all right, go ahead. You learn. You remember what you were when Jesus Christ found you. And nobody in this room deserves to be here tonight. Nobody in this room deserves to have good health tonight. Nobody in this room deserves to have heaven as their destination tonight. Everybody in this room ought to be in hell right now. A friend of sinners, a friend of compassion. And Jesus Christ told them like it was. And when Jesus Christ told the truth, hey, he didn't spare nobody when he told the truth. But I'll tell you something else about him. He stood on the mountain one day and looked down over the city and cried. He wept. Lazarus was laying dead in the grave one day, and the folks were around there weeping. He cried. He had a heart of compassion. He was God. He made this whole thing. But he come down here, and he got to dwell among men. He cried. He wept. He wept over them. You need to weep over them. You need to realize that they're just old lost sheep headed on their way to hell and ain't got no shepherd. He looked on the multitudes, and he had compassion. The friend of sinners is a friend of sacrifice. He gave up the comforts of life to reach others. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might be made rich. You know what he did? He gave up for us. That's what he did. Jesus Christ, listen, you get along Christmas time and all that kind of business going on, you'll find him in all kinds. It's a wonder they don't have a nativity scene with him in Howard Johnson's or something being born, or the Mercy Hospital. You know, they ain't got it right. Ain't got none of it right. They don't have any of it. They don't have the time of year right. They don't have when the wise man got there right. They don't have nothing right. And I don't go in much for that stuff, but I do appreciate what that governor of Rhode Island said, the ACLU, up there trying to stop all the nativity scenes and everything. The governor of Rhode Island, he said the reason ACLU doesn't like the nativity scenes because in the whole organization you couldn't find three wise men or a virgin. Now listen, he might be a lost Catholic or lost Baptist, or he might not be anything, but boy, I really like that, man. That's good, isn't it? I think that's pretty good myself. I appreciate a man in that kind of position, that kind of gut. Hey, look, he wasn't born in no hospital. You think it was a nice place where he was born? He didn't even have a heater and a taxi cab. Born out there to animals. How romantic under the stars. How cold. How alone. How indifferent. How rejected. Couldn't even find a decent place to be born. Huh? Left a. You ever think about this? You think air pollution just started in the last century? Oh, no. No. The Lord left his throne in glory. It's pure up there. You ever think about that? You think how he came down here? You know what he's breathing? He's breathing air other sinners have breathed. He's breathing air other sinners have breathed and cursed and damned and everything else. He's breathing that air. See, you and I, we think it's got to look like something to be polluted, but listen, he breathed that air. He's breathing air sinners breathe. Somebody let a curse roll off their mouth. He's breathing it. And he breathed it to his dying breath because he was crucified among thieves, and one of them was railing and casting the same in his teeth. A friend of sinners, a friend of sacrifice. Long about this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, so forth, churches sometimes to put together a basket. Poor folks down the street or in the church or missionary or something. And if you look in that basket, all that food they get, you look at it, it's a wonder. It's amazing, normally, what shows up in them boxes. You see, what shows up? What shows up is stuff that's been in your cupboard for 3 years. And what you give is what you don't like. Hey, listen, they don't like it either. He said, well, we ought to be grateful. Oh, you stinking louse, you. You ought to be so grateful God allowed you to have what you've got, you'd give the best you have. You go in there and you say, that lady needs a dress out. I'm done with this one. I think I'll give her it. How about the one you bought yesterday you ain't wore yet? That's sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving something that you want, you need, precious to you. Isn't it? Why, Jesus Christ was precious to the Father. He gave him. A friend of sinners, a friend of sacrifice. But the old, good old American way is to serve God with good food and good feeling and good fashion, good time. Amen. I like to feel good. I feel good every once in a while. Most of the time I got such a rotten personality, I don't, but I feel good every once in a while. But listen. Feeling ain't got nothing to do with serving God. Got nothing serving God at all. I travel up and down the roads. I'm in meetings. I don't know how much a year. And I'll be just honest with you. Sometimes I'll go to a meeting. I don't even want to be there. You say, boy, how unspiritual. Well, you don't want to be there. You show up because if you didn't, everybody would know what was going on. But when you show up, you can cover it up. Amen. What's feeling got to do with serving God? You know what I know about covering? And listen, I'm not griping. And I'm not telling you to sell what you got. Hey, man, I finally got me a car. I've been looking for 2 months. It's an old one. It's 77, but only got 25,000 miles on it. Best deal I'd come across. I bought it. But you know something? I thank God for all the things He gives us, and I thank God for the comforts we do have. But what if He strips you all of them? You see what I'm saying? Friend of sinners, a friend of sacrifice. He gave up the comforts of life to reach others. Comfort costs, you know. I appreciate the place you put me up in. That's a nice room, comfortable. That's good. I'm glad. I thank God for it. You know what I know about comfort? I know it costs. I put my family up in a little old pink motel in New Mexico somewhere off the beaten path. 3 shaggy old dogs laying out in the front door. Cost me $1,750 a night. You say, we can imagine what it looked like. No, you can't. I go over to Rochester, New York, and preached in a meeting there, and they put me up in a Marriott, you know, and the guy carries your stuff up for you and parks your car and all. I mean, just spoil you rotten for a week. I know it don't cost $1,750. Comfort costs. And this modern Christianity that has to have comfort to serve God, it's costing. Well, a friend of sinners is a friend of sorrow and grief. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we get out of life without a tear? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you get out of life without a hurt? Your little Reuben come up the other day and he said, I mashed my finger. Look at my face, my finger. I said, it won't be the last time. I mean, I'm real helping these kids, you know. Little babies are bawling and crying. Mama's holding their ball and crying. I look them straight in the eyeball and said, cheer up, kid. It's worse from here on out. Ain't it the truth? Come on now. I'm not trying to depress. I don't have to depress you. You did a good job today. I don't have to depress you. Wouldn't it be nice if you'd get out of life without sorrow and heartache and tears and trouble and trials? Wouldn't it be nice? But you ain't going to. And if you're saved, you'll have to get a double dose. You say, why? Because there's some sinners out there going through it and they haven't got a Savior. They don't have a friend. I'm going to tell you something. The friends they got eventually will fall off. They'll get in some tight spot somewhere where it'll be so rough nobody will stick around. And you might go through some things you go through just because somewhere down the road there's some old sinner going to be going through it and you'll be able to help them out. You'll be a friend. You say, man, I went through that. I say, how in the world did you get through it? So I couldn't have got through it if it wasn't for my friends. Amen. Haven't you had some times in life? Haven't you gone through some things? You couldn't have got through it without Jesus Christ. No way in the world. Why, you ought to thank God tonight for all those times and those tears and those heartaches and those sorrows. You get to feeling sorry for yourself. You think about them, but in the midst of feeling sorry for yourself, you need to remember that Jesus Christ went through with you. And thank God for that. If everybody forsakes you, there's one that sticks closer than a brother. A friend of sinners is a friend of sacrifice, a friend of sorrow, and a friend of grief. The last of all, a friend of sinners is a friend of the down and out and the up and about. He no respecter of persons. Always have liked that book, Inside History. It tells about J. Frank Norris and that uppity crowd down there in Fort Worth and the high class society dames, you know, and all sitting there with their hats with the fruit on and everything, and just all decked out and everything, the French cuffs and all that. And I like that one time he just decided those two uppity went down to the local mission, grabbed them a busload of bums and brought them in and set them down on the front row, and they didn't have enough seats, so he took one of the big flower pots and dumped the flowers out on the carpet and turned the pot over so a guy could sit on it. I like that. You say, why? No respect for persons. Listen, some folks are getting married and say, well, I ain't going to witness them rich folks. They hate God. A lot of poor folks hate God. See, a friend of sinners is he's not a respecter. He'll go try to get them all. He'll get all he can. When it was all over it, there were two rich men went to Pilate. Two fellas high up went to Pilate and begged the body. Two rich fellas begging. Yes, sir. Begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. They didn't want it up on that cross all night. They wanted to bury it. I think about old Nicodemus the ruler. He said, well, he came by night. He came. He came by night, but a whole lot of folks won't even come by night. He came. Sometimes you get mad at him and say, well, sneak around at night, too afraid to come in the daytime. Amen. Thank God he wasn't too afraid to come. Huh? You get to preaching at night. It's dark out there now. There might be somebody in this room too afraid to come. Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The Lord looked at him and said, you've got to be born again. And I don't understand that. He said, the Lord was hard on him. He said, you mean you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know about this? You're teaching other folks and you don't know this? What kind of a teacher are you anyway? But when it's all over it, there he is, a true disciple. I'll tell you something else. One day the Lord come walking down, telling a story about a rich man and the beggar. Old Lazarus, a beggar. A beggar. The beggar died. Just an old, stinking old, filthy beggar full of sores and dogs for friends. Lift his sword, comfort him. All he had. But when he died, the Lord sent down a detail of angels. Pick him up, bring him home. I said, that fella? I said, yeah, he's one of my friends. Old Lazarus the beggar, Nicodemus the ruler. Why, they got together and had them a good time, didn't they? You say, why? They had the one thing in common that means the most. They were both a friend of Jesus Christ. I got a friend down in, I think he's in South Florida. It's hard to keep up. It's hard for folks to keep up with me, and I can't hardly keep up with them. Hey, he's old dopehead. He didn't know his name the day he got saved. Couldn't tell you his name the day he got saved. Lord saved him, gave back some of his brain anyway. Enough of it that he'd quote a whole lot of Bible. Boy, he memorized that Bible. Named old Curtis DeBrill, just an old dopehead. Got an old friend of mine down there in Buddy Cargill's church in Maryland, Billy. Old Billy's an old rebel rouser, street fella, dopehead. Lord saved him. Down and out, nowhere to go. Down so far, couldn't go nowhere else. The Lord come along and say, you need a friend? You old wicked old sinner, you. Ungodly. You wouldn't be in that mess if you weren't an ungodly sinner. Didn't hate me. Yes, sir. Look at him. What a way to talk to a fella. It's the truth. But I tell you what, I'll save you and clean you up if you'll just admit what you are. Admit what you are, oh ungodly sinner. Admit that you don't care for God. Admit you don't care for me. Come put your trust in me. I'll save you. I'll clean you up. I got another buddy, I don't know where he is. He went to Ireland, come back, I think, I don't know. Full rich fella. 55 years old and he got saved. Lindley Camp, vice president in charge of Merrill Lynch, Pensacola, Florida. He got saved and God gave him his wife. His wife's quite a bit younger than he is and gave him a baby. They didn't adopt it, they had their own baby. Everybody thinks it's his grandbaby, but it's his baby. God gave him a baby. He broke his neck about a year before he got saved. Some folks down there in the school just kept working on him, working on him, working on him. One day he got saved. Went to his wife after he had that baby and said, honey, said, remember that doctor told me I broke my neck, said I was going to be impotent the rest of my life. Said, what'd that mean? She said, don't worry. Had him a little old baby. Ain't no sense to worry about that, is it? Take me out to eat. We go down to the sweet shop and put on pounds down there in Pensacola and go out to some restaurant, Popeyes. I like Popeyes, you know. We go to Popeyes Fried Chicken or something, and we go out there. We might go to a fancy place. The waitress come to the table, and the first thing old Lindley knew, he pulled out his billfold, got a picture of a little baby girl, and he said, he just shoved that right in the face of the waitress. He said, you see that? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gave me after I trusted him as my Savior. So that's a beautiful grandchild. Ain't my grandchild, it's my daughter. And they know he's nuts. He'd tell me, call me Collect, you know. So I run around the country, got his number, and I'd call him Collect every once in a while, and he always called me the bishop. And the operator would say, you got a Collect call from Rex Harrison? And he said, where's the bishop at? And she'd tell him where that, and then I never got to talk 5 minutes. He'd talk 5 minutes at the operator. Operator said, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Boy, some of them did, some of them didn't. It got kind of hairy there every once in a while. They called him up to Boston a few years back at a big investors convention for all people all over the world, and they was going to have him speak for 20 or 25 minutes on certain aspects of investment. And he got up and he said, I said, you don't need me to tell you about this. And y'all know what to do anyway. He said, I'll tell you something else. Man, 25 minutes, he told him how Jesus Christ saved his soul. Said, what is that? Friend of sinners? Friend of the down and out and up and about. Didn't bypass one of them. Told him like it was. Told him the truth. Didn't let him get away with anything. Cried over him. Went apart and prayed over him. And saved him. Aren't you glad tonight he's a friend of sinners? You ought to be. In his death, he had time to reach down and save an old thief. Don't you get so busy doing the work of God that you don't have time to reach down and save an old thief. Because really, that's what you used to be. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Now, I preach to Christians tonight, but there may be somebody in here lost without Jesus Christ, your Savior. Listen. I preach to Christians, but you know what to do. That whole sermon's laced with what you ought to do. Sinner away from God. No peace deep down, no joy. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul. Well, here you are coming into a new year. If you trust Jesus Christ tonight, he'll make you a new creature. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just come to him and admit what you are. Admit you're an old lost sinner and you like your sin. On your way to hell. Tell him you're sorry. Ask him to save you. He'll do it. He'll do it. Christian, just how good a friend you've been to God. We always talk about how wonderful a friend he is to us. How about your end of it? How good a friend are you to him? If you're a real good friend to God, you'll be the kind of friend an old sinner in this world needs. Lord, I pray you deal with hearts now. If there's somebody in this building lost, I pray tonight, and we sing, Lord, they'd come, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. I pray, Lord, if some child of God in here tonight, you've talked to, you've spoken to, the Holy Spirit's dealt with, that tonight, Lord, they'd obey and they do what you tell them to do. And that's all we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, come on.